You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The conversation for this moment is to bring in Rich Kleiman, of course, the boardroom, of course, Katie. What are you technically? What do you like to be called? Katie's business manager? Is that the appropriate term?
Yeah, we can go. You call me Rich. You call me Rich, first of all, and then we can go with Katie's business manager. I mean, any of those titles, I'm honored to have. So whatever,
right.
Whatever.
We're honored to have you. Now, Rich, here's how I see it. You joined me 2 weeks ago. You fell in love with the program, with the show, and you said, "I want to be back." And then we had you back. Is that accurate?
That's 100% accurate. That's exactly right.
All right, I got a faux pas to admit to you right now.
Talk to me.
I have not watched Basketball County yet in the water, and I apologize for that.
No, that's cool.
No, I feel like
judging.
I've let you down, and I'll tell you why. Because I wanted to, because I'm really interested by it, and a friend of mine called me and said, "Did you watch this yet? It's outstanding." And I forgot about it, and I didn't watch it. So it's on the DVR. It's not yet been viewed, though, and I apologize.
Don't apologize. I think it's less about you and more about that friend. Who's the friend that watched it and had such great things to say?
Great. He actually has a big production company. We can talk about that off the air. Maybe we can combine forces. But
why don't we talk about it on air? Why not give him a shout out?
I don't know that the station would love the fact that I'm just bringing up random production companies. But we'll discuss this. All right. So
he's listening. I said thank you. I appreciate him watching it, and there's still time for you to watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I promise you that by next time you are on the show, I will have watched Basketball County.
I appreciate that. Considering that you control the next time I'm on the show, then what does that mean?
Well, I'll have you on. I'll book you next week. You're doing nothing next Saturday.
Nah, I'm not doing anything
ever
for the indefinite Saturday.
Right. So if I said to you 11 o'clock next Saturday morning, you want to lock it in right now?
Will you watch before then?
I give you my word of honor.
Oh, man, that's big. Yeah, lock it in.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. 11 o'clock next Saturday, half hour, hour, whatever you want to do. And during that time, we're going to lead the conversation with Basketball County in the water.
All right, I like
to you.
And you know what else we should talk about? I'm foreshadowing here. I feel like this Lance Armstrong doc is going to be a real thing.
I think it's going to be
great. Let's try to talk a little bit about that next Saturday, too.
I agree with you. And we're going to be heading into part two of that, because part one is tomorrow night on ESPN. Would you not agree with me, and you're a guy that's now, you know, dabbled in the documentary game, that the 30 for 30s that ESPN does might be the best things that are done by this network? I mean, they're so good.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think for sure it's the best things. I mean, SportsCenter's like in the Hall of Fame. But aside from that, the 30 for 30s are everything. And it's also, I think the 30 for 30s are really been a pioneer in kind of setting this like landscape of sports docs now, I think, that are A, very compelling, and B, all over the place and very sought after. I've done 4 or 5, I think, in the last maybe 6 years. And before that, what I knew of that space was 30 for 30s. And it also covers every story that makes you think like, oh, that's right, that's right. And now it's kind of like you recognize things happening in the world of sports that you know will ultimately end up as a 30 for 30.
Yeah, but that's right. Things happen now, and when they happen, you're like, that's going to be a 30 for 30 one day. This game, this series, this whatever, that'll be a 30 for 30 one day. And people, like, it's become so popular, people even joke about it. When something awful happens, well, you'll make that into a 30 for 30 one day. But they're so good. And I agree with you. I mean, we're coming off the high of all highs of The Last Dance. Now we find out there's going to be one on Tom Brady, a 9-part series next year on Tom Brady. But I think that this Lance Armstrong one, which starts this Sunday at 9 o'clock on ESPN, is going to be phenomenal. Cause there's a villain in it. Lance Armstrong, and how many guys, Rich, I think this is really interesting, go from beloved, right? Lance was at the pinnacle, at the top of sport, where if you said guys that you respect the most, it would be Lance, to villainous. I mean, he's as disliked as any athlete that we've seen now.
Yeah, and I think the thing was, he was actually at the top of society. It was bigger than sport. I'm interested to see, because I don't know the facts the way I do about like things that happened in baseball or different scandals throughout sports. But what I'll say is that the thing that doesn't get mentioned enough is within this like world he lived and how he duped people, or how people feel like they were duped by him and that they held him in such high regard to only find out he was cheating on such an intense level, which we'll
also learn more about. And he was a bad guy, too. Like, the, some of the things, and if you don't know them, something like he sued people that he knew he was lying about.
Yeah, so he clearly, there's something there we gotta uncover in this doc, and we'll talk about. But what he did philanthropically and what he did with Livestrong was true, and that was real, and that was accurate. At least as far as I know, there was never any scandal about that. And he did utilize his platform in an incredible way, which I'm sure they'll talk about in the doc. But it is one of those things where, like, you haven't even seen him. I mean, OJ is tweeting from the golf course.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, you've not even seen this guy. So this is going to be pretty cool. It's crazy how it works. Like, the timing of this is similar. It's not the magnitude of The Last Dance. But, like, these are one of these stories that will, at least for a sports fan, this is going to completely, like, this will get us locked in for the next two Sundays.
Oh, absolutely. And then you got the one on Sosa and McGuire, which I think will be great. And then, you know what one, and I don't know why I'm so drawn to this, but the one on Bruce Lee is going to come out after that, which is really intriguing to me as well.
Yeah, that's going to be incredible. Of course. And then and the Bruce Lee thing, I don't know if you saw the Marbury doc that we did. It's not a plug at all, but if you saw it, there's some scenes of Marbury quoting Bruce Lee as well as watching old footage of him. Kevin's done the same in the last few years. Like, there's a lot of athletes are inspired by him and his kind of mental focus, and that'll be pretty cool because I think we don't, you know, we know very little, but we all know his name. So
we all know
cool
his name, and we all
this.
Know that he was at the top of his game and was struck down young. So I think all those things.
Yes. You and know. We know that Brad Pitt's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood beat him up, which was so unrealistic.
Ridiculous. That was a good movie, by the way. I watched that recently.
Incredible movie. I got to watch
right?
it again.
Because I also have this bizarre, I guess you could say, obsession with the whole Manson murders.
Whoa.
So yeah, well, I mean, it's not like I'm looking to copycat them. I'm just intrigued by them. And you know, they have a different, obviously I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but you know, it changes the way.
Yeah. That scene at the end was just insane.
When they just walk up and they're like, you want to go swimming? Sure. Let's go swimming.
God, the fire torch, all of it was crazy.
It was a very intense, but that's Tarantino for you. All right. So we have a lot to get into. 800-919-3776. You're comfortable with the phone call as well, right? I mean, if we determine we want to take calls, we can do that.
Of course, and I want to talk about, is the Brady thing really 9 episodes on him, or is it 9 episodes and his company's producing it?
I mean,
I think it's 9 episodes on different iconic athletes. Maybe I'm wrong. We should find out. I'm sure you got research.
Well, our producer's excellent, Ty.
All right.
He went to Newhouse School of Communications up at Syracuse, and he'll let you know that at the drop of a hat.
Ty,
can you find that in? Yeah, Ty, you speak to him every week when you come on. He's terrific. I thought it was on Brady. So you think it's just Brady's company that is producing 9 separate.
I know. I thought that LeBron's company, Uninterrupted, and Brady's company that he has with Gotham Chopra, director, who he's worked with in his Facebook series. I thought that they were collaborating and doing something on athletes. That could be something separate.
I'm reading a headline right now that says Tom Brady, ESPN will air a 9-part series on Tom Brady in 2021.
Yeah, so that's different than what I was referring to. Okay, cool. So that's exciting. I'm excited for that.
They're all great.
Yeah, they're all going to be great. 9 episodes, though?
9 episodes.
See, I love Tom Brady, but I don't know how you pull off 9 episodes because the thing with Michael Jordan is the episodes about Michael Jordan, and they were about the season. There was other characters involved that were obviously incredible, the Rodmans, Pippins, Phil Jackson.
I mean, you even got in-depth with Steve Kerr. I mean, it was really well done the way they did it.
But it had as much to do with the idea that this was arguably the most culturally influential person of the 20th century. And as successful as Tom Brady has been and as incredible as he is, and I think that he's obviously left his mark in the history of sports, he hasn't influenced an entire generation just off the field. It just hasn't happened. He's dominated a sport at the highest level and lived this, like, incredible story of a 7th-round pick or whatever round he was picked in. But it's not Michael Jordan. So I'm excited to see what 9 episodes are. I mean, I hope they spent.
Well, maybe you get it. I mean, and I don't know the access that they had, because they had such great access to Jordan and those guys in The Last Dance that the security guards, you know, became integral figures. And I mean, how deep do they go into Belichick? I mean, the undefeated season. Do they have video, which is truly compelling? They probably do. So I'm sure it'll be well done. You bring me to an interesting topic, and I started this. I don't know how this even started on the station, but this became like a topic that was discussed on the station. It sounds like you and I are going to be in complete agreement of who's the greatest player in the history of team sport. And it came down to, I guess, Brady and Michael Jordan. I think you could throw Wayne Gretzky into the mix, and he might win the whole thing anyway. But it was between Brady and Jordan. To me, and I told you last week when you joined me, or a couple weeks ago, I didn't even like Michael Jordan. Like, great, yes, dominant, sure. He drove me crazy because, you know, beat the teams I rooted for every single time. But I don't even think this is a debate. Like, to me, on the field, off the field, dominance, greatness, big shot maker, everything. Like, Jordan is just is far superior. And I think Brady is great, Rich, but Jordan is far superior to what Tom Brady is and was.
Yeah, I mean, far superior is... I'm going to reserve the right to maybe change that in a year or two, because I think if he goes to Tampa and has legitimate success, or even, God forbid, wins a Super Bowl, we're going to have to start having a deeper conversation on it. But I think Michael Jordan's the greatest athlete in team sports myself. Now, I think the doc obviously makes you perceive him in certain ways where you have to take a second and think, okay, well, maybe his style of leading and winning and dominating wouldn't have worked now. But when people say those things, it's like so many things that happened then in the world wouldn't work now. That's just evolution and time. At that time, it worked. And he dominated on a level like we had never seen. He hit game-winning shot after game-winning shot. Like, I even forgot that game two, he hit a game-winner versus Utah in that series. Like, it was nothing. Like, I just forgot all about that one. Then he goes and hits Kerr for the three on the other one. And then game six, he's obviously has that moment. I mean, there's nothing like that. There's never been anything like it. And the pressure and the magnitude of these moments and, like, the eyeballs that were on him, for him to always come through and to change the entire sport the way he did, I think he is for sure the best. But Brady's had an incredible career.
I don't take anything away from Brady. I mean, for me to say that Jordan, in my eyes, is far superior is not a knock on Brady. It's more of a just impressive idea and thought of Michael Jordan, that he was just at that level. I mean, you can argue, Rich, that Brady came into the NFL and was not great for a while. He won a Super Bowl and was a hero, and he wasn't great. I mean, they beat the Rams 2017. I said earlier, I think they scored 13 points offensively in that game. He led them on the game-winning drive on a couple of dump passes over the middle, and they got into field goal range, and Vinatieri kicked a long field goal. It's not to take away, and maybe it's unfair that I do this, because it does sound like I'm taking away, but Michael was dominant, and I don't feel like Brady, especially early in his career, was at the same level.
I think you're right. I mean, I think for a quarterback, like, the mandate is to win. So, like, there were seasons that they won scoring 13 points and relying on the defense and, like, not having a real deep threat. And then there were seasons where they won, you know, him throwing 400 or 500 yards a game. Actually, there were seasons they won until the Super Bowl throwing 400 or 500 yards a game, because they ran into our Giants.
That, yeah.
Makes me feel like this 9-part documentary, they'd be remiss if they don't spend 2 episodes strictly talking about the Giants.
I honestly think all 9 should be solely about that.
Yeah,
the Tyree catch, Eli getting free of the defense. I would like to see a 9-part series on that.
If I could see 3 episodes alone on the Manningham catch.
Right? Could you not argue that's the greatest throw in the history of the NFL?
Incredible. I mean, in terms of the moment, the timing, the accuracy needed, oh my God, the amount of yards needed to get the first down. I mean, everything. The fact that he got out of bounds right afterwards, the fact that he kept his feet in bounds, the fact that it was real Manningham, like.
It was perfect. It was the perfect throw at the biggest time. All right, so 800-919-3776. Now, I'm told you're only available through 11:30. Is that right?
We go a little longer because we just had a quick start. Plus, I was supposed to go for a walk with my buddy out here. Like, that was my Saturday morning exercise, and he canceled on me, so whatever. Let's keep it going.
So, I mean, you're welcome to hang out as long as you'd like. We go till noon. But 800-919-3776. Rich agrees that it's Jordan clearly number one over Tom Brady. You can get involved in that conversation. We're going to jump around.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
So I'm told, Rich, that you kind of, it's a feeling out process with us. You commit till 11:30, and then when you feel the first segment has gone to your level, then you say, you know what, I'll stay on for the hour. Is that right?
Yeah, it's almost like I'm meeting you for a drink.
Uh-huh.
Not sure if we can have dinner after.
So I showed up.
You showed up.
Witty conversation. And
yep.
You realize after the first drink, you know what? Dinner worthy.
Yep, and you bought the first round.
That's fine. And I would. If we're ever allowed to go back out, I'll buy all the drinks.
All right, perfect.
Whenever that day happens. Yeah, whenever that day happens. All right, so 800-919-3776. Of course, Mitch, Rich from the boardroom, from 35 Vent. You know what? It's a long day. The boardroom, 35 Ventures. He's got the documentary out right now, which I'm going to watch by next Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
It'll be watched, and I will process it.
Yep.
And we're going to discuss it at length.
Ooh, okay. I like
that. At length. All right. So we're in agreement. If I said to you Gretzky or Brady, see, here's the thing. How do you rank guys on their individual dominance? Do you rank guys on championships? Do you rank them on longevity? Do you rank them on stats? Like what do you rank guys on for their greatness?
Well, championships play a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think just overall impact and the eye test, just like you know you're watching one of the greatest ever, how they dominate, how people gravitate towards them, how they are at their peak, unstoppable, where you're just completely at a loss on how to kind of maintain and guard them or cover them or contain them. And then, like, if they change the game at all, I think Gretzky falls into that conversation just because his dominance over a period of time was unprecedented. He made the game of hockey.
Changed the game, right?
Dominated the game.
Won multiple championships.
And just destroyed these, like, Hart trophies and Ross trophies and he just won everything. And he dominated. And hockey, as far as I knew at that point, you know, and I was a hockey fan in the 80s and 90s and kind of, I phased out of it a bit as I got older. It was tough to manage every sport and fantasy and kids and everything.
Are you a fantasy guy also? You love that too?
I love fantasy football. No. I don't play everything, but I love fantasy football. But Gretzky was like the league was competitive. There were other great players. Like there was just like a great time in hockey, it felt like. And the Oilers just were like, they were a dynasty. They were the Patriots. They were all of that. And he played with incredible players. It seemed like Gretzky is on that Mount Rushmore of hockey. There's some guys with him, but like he's synonymous with the sport. His number, I think 99 is like, will resonate with any sports
fan. They retired 99.
I know. They retired 99. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They should retire at 23. I always thought they should have retired at 23.
I guess. It's so difficult for me. Like it takes me such a long time to wrap my arms around how great he was.
Gretzky,
oh,
I know.
Such pain.
I know.
Such pain. By the way, and I just want to mention this quickly. I started the show with this. I mean, this Patrick Ewing news is really upsetting. Ewing tests positive for COVID-19. He tweeted, I guess he's okay, but he's in the hospital right now. So,
yeah, I mean, very upset. But definitely praying for him. I mean, obviously, I don't know him very well at all, but I'm obviously a diehard fan of him as a person, as a player, and you just want to see him get better. And hopefully he was announcing it because he wanted to, you know, inspire other people to continue to take this seriously. But, yeah, I hope he's better soon.
Yeah, I think we all do. All right, people lined up. Let's go. 800-919-3776. Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're next up on 98.7.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Mitch?
What's up, Mitch?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I would say I would put LeBron when all said and done, especially unless the Clippers stop the Lakers this year or the Bucks. LeBron's had less stars to work with at times. I mean, I'm going to put Bosh in the Hall of Fame.
So you would put LeBron over Michael, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Michael had, I guess you can't say superstars, but he had two Hall of Famers, you know, Pippen and Robin are in the Hall of Fame, right?
I don't even know. Is Rodman in the Hall of Fame?
He is.
Yeah. All right.
Great rebound.
Then he did. Yeah. I mean, great rebounder, great defensive player.
Brady lost to Eli twice. He's a future Hall of Famer, and he lost to a career backup. And but Dave, I'm really surprised you didn't say Jeter, because he was undefeated in the World Series, right?
No,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Was not undefeated in the World Series, no.
First of all, and I understand how great Derek Jeter was. Derek Jeter is not. I'm sorry, he's not. Derek Jeter is not the greatest shortstop in the history of the game. He's not the greatest Yankee. So I'm going to now say he's the greatest athlete. I can't say that.
No, he's on these lists of like most clutch performer.
Yeah.
Best teammate, he's incredible captain, best face of baseball, all those things, had incredible moments. I mean, the play versus Oakland, like, you can't even script that up. But
it was unbelievable.
Yeah, but he's not in that, like, greatest athletes of all time.
No. Richie never won MVP.
No. I mean, but baseball MVP is like if you're in the top five, really, right? So how many top five finishes do you have?
I'd have to look it up, but he never won it. I mean, you would figure, listen, he's an all-time great, but I don't know. I know people are going to get upset with me, but I'm sorry. He's not Brady. He's not Michael Jordan. He's not Wayne Gretzky. I don't think of Derek Jeter in that same ilk.
So who else? And it's tough for me to talk about current NBA players. I mean, Brady, I feel like at 42 or whatever age he is, 40, we can have him in that conversation. LeBron will be in it. Let's wait till after his career. But Gretzky, are we putting Tiger in there yet, like in terms of dominating a sport? I mean, he's not number one in majors, but I think in terms of like when we look back in the history of golf, he'll be the name, right? He'll pass Jack Nicklaus, you think?
I don't. We actually talked about this earlier. You think he passes Jack, huh?
Not in terms of mass, not in terms of majors, but just in terms of like the face of a sport.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think you could argue he's passed him there already.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, yeah.
And then Serena. Serena's clearly, like, the greatest in my opinion. I mean, Steffi Graf, to me, was tremendous, but she didn't really career through. But Serena's the most dominant and the face and changed the game of women's tennis and tennis in general.
Sure. But don't you have to separate individual sport from team sport? Or, I mean, I guess we don't have to. We do whatever we want.
Well, no. Well, yes. So if we're saying team sport, then clearly yes. But I'm thinking of just, like, these athletes that, you know, like when we were growing up, people told you Babe Ruth was the greatest ever, but like, why? Like, we never, like, not one of us watched him play. The stats, I mean, watching highlights looks like you're watching just like a movie from a whole nother planet.
But when you look at the stats, they're so dominant.
Like, exactly.
Like, other teams weren't hitting as many home runs as Babe Ruth was hitting.
No, but what I mean by that is that, like, Babe Ruth was just synonymous with, like, baseball great and sports greatness in terms of at the top of their game. It's like a Mount Rushmore of sports in general, just like the most famous, successful athletes of all time. So I just went wild and started adding in Serena and Tiger, so we can get back.
That's okay. I brought up Jeter for you, by the way. So Jeter was Rookie of the Year in 96. He was third in the MVP voting in 98.
Yeah.
Second in 06. And third in 09. So he has.
Yeah, he had an incredible career. He had
incredible career.
Hall of Fame career.
We lost Rich. We'll get him back in a second. It's time to break anyway. Jeter, incredible career. Consummate professional. The bigger moment that happened in baseball. But I'm sorry. And you can come after me if you want at 800-919-3776. He's not Jordan. He's not Brady. He's not Gretzky.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right, we move along. 800-919-3776. Dave in Queens. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave and Rich. Rick. What is it? Rich Kleiman, right?
Rich.
Hi, Rich. My man. Rich. Hi, guys. Good morning. No, I'm not mad at anybody. I just wanted to just remind people, Jeter was great, everything flawless except one thing. He did not go to Mr. Bob Shepard's funeral and then lied about it, about some sort of traffic mix-up and everything. And let me tell you, as a captain of the New York Yankees, you go to Bob Shepard's funeral, especially.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know enough about that to really
sit
here and dissect it and analyze it, but I've heard rumblings of that story. It sounds strange.
It was very strange. He definitely blew it off. Let's just use the street word. He blew it off. Now, we all have our opinions. We could do what we want in life, but I believed when he is a captain of the Yankees, you go to that.
And all right, so he can't. But here's the thing. He can't have made a monumental mistake?
No, he can't. No, I mean, okay. Me personally, when I look at him now, I say to myself, that's a selfish person. You know what I mean?
Oh, come on. That's not fair, though.
No, that is fair because, look,
off
Bob
of
Shepard
one mistake?
Announced him. No. I love him for the side, for the Yankees, for the player he was. But I'm saying as a man, okay, Dave, I separate the two. For a baseball player, one thing. Man, other thing. But I'll
So he's a bad guy? Because
no,
he didn't go to Bob Shepard's funeral?
Media. You're in the media, Dave. You just said, you just do what the media always does. Did I say the word bad? No, you just put the word bad in my in the term and made me that I'm a bad guy because you said
I felt like you were leading down there. You said I look at him differently. So you tell me then.
I don't need to raise my voice here. That's what you media guys do. You want?
Oh my God! Just answer that. I'm asking you a question. So how do you're that bothered by that it changes your opinion of Derek Jeter?
I am. I'm allowed to have my opinion. I am bothered by that. I separate the two. I glorify him as a ball player and as a captain. I believe the word escapes me right now. He was derelict of his duties. How about that? As captain, Bob Shepard announces him. He uses it, everything. And then I knew Bob Shepard, by the way, okay?
All right, Dave, I'm going to move on. I'm going to talk about this with Rich a little more calmly. If it's true, and I don't know enough about the story, but I think it's an accurate story. You can't have a misstep. I mean, you're around athletes all the time. They make mistakes.
They do. What was his name? Was Calvin though, right? Not Dave.
I think his name was Dave.
Dave. Well, I'll say this about Dave: love is passion. He's probably a Mets fan on the low. That's why, and I appreciate that if he was, or at least I'll believe that. Listen, he obviously has a soft spot for Bob Shepard and took it a certain way. I respect it. I will say, though, that it's tough to judge these guys within the conversation we're having now on personal missteps, for sure, because I'm quite certain MJ and Brady and every human being alive has had them.
Big
what
time.
I did was amazing, though, was how he started saying the media his words out of line. I love that. That was incredible. That was funny.
People are sensational. And the more you wind up in the sports talk realm, the more you'll realize how special people can be. Twitter's a fun place as well. I don't know how active you are on that.
I'm active. I mean, I've started using it more during quarantine. My Instagram voice is not as good as my Twitter voice. I feel like I'm more reflective of who I am on Twitter. I got to tell you, though, Dave, that like those kind of conversations, that's got to be fun, though, right? Don't you find that entertaining? Or
sometimes,
does it get a little...
yeah. Sometimes they're great.
I know. Sometimes they're great. He took it the wrong way, man. He really felt this, like he felt like he had got
and
a real...
And I get that. But yeah. He thinks less of Derek Jeter because he had a misstep? I mean, who knows what was going on in Jeter's life? Maybe he was – I don't know. I don't know enough about the story. But
no,
and
for
it's
sure.
Not a,
but
it's not a great look.
No, not it was. I mean, I don't even know that. I didn't even know that story at all. I mean,
yeah,
I
think it is an accurate story. But just to change your entire opinion. I mean, look at. You deal with this all the time. Athletes make mistakes. Forget about athletes. We all make mistakes. You don't have things that you wish you could go back and correct. I do.
Yeah, 1,000%. I think it's tough for fans to like arbitrarily judge athletes on certain things. It drives me crazy when people make a generalization about an athlete and who they are as a person from just what they're able to get from the information that they're given. Like, you're more than welcome to not like them as a player, hate what they say to the media, but when you make like a generalization about some of these guys' character, I think it's tough, but I get it. Fans are passionate, man. You see how much, I mean, sport, the void that we feel in society without sports is very reflective of the passion that we all have, right? So without it, we're all at a loss, and when you're in it, you get those kind of emotions like Dave just had. But Jeter shouldn't even be in that time conversation, in my opinion, anyway, of, like, greatest athletes ever, period.
No, he's not. Lee and Mawa. Lee, you're next up.
I was just going to say you're doing a great show. I just wanted to say, if you did think that Jeter should be in, then how about someone like Mark Messier?
Yeah, I got to be honest. If you look at the longevity of career and the accomplishments, I mean, I think you could put Messier ahead of Jeter.
Yeah, it's funny. Messier and Jeter probably belong in this, like, separate conversation of individually, they're not the greatest in their sport, but what they did, how they led people,
right,
rally the city, how they impacted the game, how they became the face of the game. That says a lot. I think they're in their own kind of lane in that way. But I don't think Messier like ever was at the level of Lemieux or Gretzky.
No, I don't. Statistically wise, he wasn't. But if you, all time goal scoring leaders, he's right there. I mean, Messier was.
He played 37 years.
He played for a long time, but they all do. All the great hockey players play for a long time. Raymond Bork did. Gretzky did. Messier did. They play forever. Hockey is the sport that you can realistically play for 20 years professionally. You don't see Tom Brady's come along all that often.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Why are hockey players able to play that long when they're getting slammed into the side? They're on ice. They're falling. They're getting slapped in the face with pucks. And then football players can't make it that long or even close to that long. Interesting.
It is. I mean, look at Chris Chelios, who's one of the great defenders in the history of hockey. I think he played till he was like 46 or 47 years old. Jágr played. I think Jágr's still playing somewhere right now.
Jágr's still playing. Martin Brodeur took like 175-mile-per-hour pucks at his body for 27 years.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Fran in Massapequa. Fran, you're next up, buddy. How are you?
Dave, what's up? Love the show. Great segment. Great guest. I'm going to throw out two guys that I think that it's not even a question. First of all, it could go either way with these two. First is baseball. You know, the greatest player ever has to be considered in my top two. Babe Ruth, most home runs ever, changed baseball. And the guy won 20 games as a pitcher. No one's ever even come close to doing that. Number two, Wayne Gretzky, to me, is by far the greatest sports athlete of all time, and I'll tell you why. I played hockey. Brutal game, and I'm 6'1", 225. Brutal physical game. He is not a big man. And one of the greatest hockey players of all time, the points leader in the NHL was Gordie Howe. Wayne Gretzky had more assists than any other player in the history of the NHL had points.
Correct.
I mean, it's absolutely, what he did was phenomenal. The shape of him, the size of him. Jordan's right there. But I think the three greatest athletes in my book are one and two, maybe one Gretzky, two Babe Ruth. And you can't forget Jim Brown. Is it true that Jim Brown played every season, didn't miss a game?
Yeah. And legend goes, and obviously I don't know, I wasn't there. Thanks to the call, friend Rich, that greatest lacrosse player in the history of the game of lacrosse.
Really?
Yeah, Long Island kid Jim Brown.
How many years did he play football though? He only played 7 or 8 years.
Not a lot. I'm thinking 9.
I think the thing with Gretzky was that he dominated on the championship front. Dominated with the individual stats, made the game popular, had his jersey retired, never really got in any kind of trouble.
Mm-mm.
Went and won at two, right? He didn't win a championship in L.A.
No, they went to the finals in 93.
And then he didn't win in New York.
He only won in Edmonton.
Yeah, that's true. It would have been pretty. That's why Messier
got the one in New York without Gretzky.
I think it's the one thing I got out of watching that documentary was just that whether it was from Bulls organization or Michael retiring the first time, but it would have been pretty special to see what would have happened over like a 10-year stretch. Like, would he have won 7 or 8? If he kept playing, would he have passed Kareem's record?
That's a great question. But then on the flip side, you got to say, like, they showed multiple times where he looked like he was just emotionally spent. So at some point, would that have gotten in the way of a championship where he didn't have anything more to give?
Maybe, but you know why I think he was emotionally spent when it really came down to it? Because of these inner battles he created for himself. These, like, challenges and grudges and angles and things that he created to compete and dominate at that
level.
The
fact that he made stories up in his own mind and I guess at some point believed them just to motivate himself.
Yeah, it must have been. Listen, I respect it in one hand. It motivated me. Like, I watched episode 9 and 10, and when I was done, I was ready to run through a wall. Like, I wanted to figure out how to get better at everything I did. From that standpoint, I get it. I love it. I love that side of him. But from him personally, it must have been crippling at times to just, like, feel this need to win at all costs in every way, in everything you do. But
yeah, like I said, be able to turn it off. It's got to be a burden. I mean, it's great and it drives him and he was successful and he won, but it's got to be a burden all wrapped up into one.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I want to ask you about Jamal Adams. So your take is what? I mean, you're a guy, you're an advisor, you're a confidant of Kevin Durant. He's under kind of, I understand the NBA and NFL different because it's guaranteed money in the NBA and Major League Baseball. It's not that way in the NFL. But if you were advising Jamal Adams here, what would your advice be to him as he enters year four in the NFL?
Well, let me paint a picture for you that I always try to remember when, as a fan, especially when I was younger, and you'd get frustrated at a player or you'd get frustrated at a team for not taking care of a certain player, is the reality is if Jamal Adams was out in the backyard doing something for his wife or his family and accidentally slipped and tore his ACL and missed a season, next summer, for no apparent reason, the Jets could go ahead and cut him. And guess what? It wouldn't be surprising, and it wouldn't be anything that we haven't seen in the NFL before. And for that reason, if I'm Jamal Adams, and I've produced at the level I've produced, I'm a homegrown guy, and I understand that the world is in uncharted territory, and I'm playing a sport where the shelf life for a lot of players is 6, 7, 8, 9 years. You don't know where your money is coming from. If you're grossly underpaid, which he is, relative. Now, I hate saying that, especially on New York City radio, because there's 30 million some odd people unemployed, and we all understand that. This pales in comparison to any real issues in the world. But let's just keep it in football context. He's underpaid. The feeling should be from both sides, and this is what I like to pride myself on, is I'm a businessman first. I'm an entrepreneur first. There's a way to get a deal done. There's a way for both sides to be happy. If I'm the Jets, if I have him hold out, I got a young quarterback, I'm bringing in veterans for a reason because I think that I can probably have a chance to start winning some games. If I'm doing all that, why do I push this thing a year, push this thing 2 years, disrupt the flow and chemistry of the team, upset Jamal Adams, one of our best players or one of our best positions, find a way to pay him? Yes, you don't technically have to. You can keep pushing it forward. These things never end well. That's why Le'Veon Bell's a Jet right now. Mm-hmm. They don't end well. So if Jamal Adams is the guy you think he is, and we all see him to be, get a deal done. Get a deal done. Show people that the Jets will take care of people.
Now, on the flip side of that, if you're in the Jamal camp and they don't have to get a deal done, which you just said, do you take I don't want to say a team-friendly deal, but do you make some sacrifices to get the deal done after year three heading into year four because they don't have to make the deal right now?
Well, it's a negotiation. I mean, you have to be prepared if you're under contract and you want to renew your deal. You hope that your team's in a position to give you every dollar you deserve and pay you appropriately at the top of your position, but they also know they got to sign Darnold. So if I'm Jamal Adams, I got to be prepared to make sure that I get a number I'm happy with. I don't get caught up in who's making more money than me, but if I can go in there and get a deal that I'm happy with and I have some more long-term security, the Jets have the ability to still sign Darnold, and the Jets are willing to rip up the deal and get this done now, you got to be able to compromise to a degree, yes. But, you know, I think that's where you have to put some perspective on it. And if you're going to renew a deal that you did, you signed a contract, you have every right. I respect him advocating for himself, and he should feel that way. He should go get his money. He's the one that's got to put his body on the line every week, and we know what the climate is right now in the world and in the NFL. But that means that you got to go in there and be prepared to take a deal that may not make you the highest paid safety, but will make sure that you're set. And I think that can get done, and I think the Jets have to take that perspective. Because I know the last thing fans want is when they're watching this thing unfold, they know what it is. You already know. Like, you've seen this story, and you're like, God, Darrell Revis. Like, it just means the beginning of the end. So you got to nip it in the bud.
Yeah, it's concerning because Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for us at ESPN, told us yesterday, he said, this is going to get ugly. And that's the worst thing for multiple reasons. A, you mentioned what's going on in the world climate right now. So that's number one. But number two is he's the emotional leader of this team. You're a young team. You're in a mode where you look at it, I don't want to say win now, but at least compete now for a playoff spot. If he's unhappy and he holds out and this becomes a long, drawn-out thing, it's the worst thing for all parties involved, Rich.
I agree. You know what I do? If I'm in that situation and when I'm running a team, which I will one day, I don't know what sport, but probably basketball, I'm getting everyone in a room, like, figure it out. I've gotten way harder deals done. I'm sure everyone in that room has gotten way harder deals done to a degree. Maybe for Jamal Adams, this is his life, so this is as important as anything. Get in a room, say, here's the situation. We can pay you, but if we pay you, we can't do X, Y, and Z. And then we may not be winning the way we want to win. But we know we want you here. And if we want you here, what we can do is this, or we can defer payments. Here's bonuses and incentives. I don't know NFL, the salary cap and collective bargaining the way I do the NBA, but I know that there's a deal to be had. And sometimes that means getting the agent and the player in the room, not just agent to player. Like, I involve KD in all that we do, for his deals, for our deals. We're partners. And these players, if you're going to advocate for yourself about your business, and you got to sit in that room and get the deal done.
All right, we got to run, but you tried to slip one past the goalie there. You want to run a team at some point, huh?
I will run a team at some point.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah, I just got to figure out when. I got a business I'm running right now, and Kevin's got 7 more years in the league, 8 more years, 9 more years, I mean, whatever it is. And we're building the boardroom. We're building a whole bunch of different platforms and assets. And, you know, but one point in my life, I want to run a sports team.
So president of a team, like what Leon Rose just took over?
I mean, I'd be president, maybe it'd be a CEO, maybe I'd be a part owner. I just, you know, ultimately, like, I love running my own business right now, but being a part of a team is also a goal.
Do you see a role for me down the road for this?
Yeah, I mean, this is like, this goes without saying now. I mean, first of all, when you said our names before, we sounded like a law office. Like,
I thought that last week as well, yes.
But yeah, you got a role, man. You got
all right.
A role.
I'm going to hold you to it. Next week, we got a date, 11 o'clock. We're going to really, really diagnose the new documentary, Basketball County in the Water. Showtime, watch it. We'll discuss it. Rich, good stuff as always, my man.
Thank you, man. Have a good week. And Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, I can't wait. We got a lot to do next. Now, are you going to tease me by saying it's going to be half an hour? Or are you locked in for the 11 to 12 hour next week?
Oh, I'm locked, man. I'm locked.
All right, good.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.